Well, good afternoon again, Grace Church. I am so glad to be worshiping with you and opening God's word together. You might be like, wait, that's it? We're going to sing one song? No, it's not over. We're going to sing some more. And I'm not going to preach a full message today. I've been looking forward to today. It's a different kind of worship service today. You can actually hear from multiple people, and I'm going to explain that in just a second. But if you are joining online, I'm so grateful that you're joining as well. I've had people ask me all morning if I intentionally wore the same sweater as I did in the video, and the answer is no. So you're welcome. You're welcome for that fact that I got dressed in the dark and didn't think about it. But here we are. I want to jump into our text, our core text for this morning. That's really our platform for what we're going to look at as we hear from campus pastors about what God's doing here at Grace. And I'm going to jump right in. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read 4 through 8. It'll be on the screen. You can follow along in your Bible. Acts 1, 4. While Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're not going to have time to unpack these middle verses today when the disciples say to Jesus in response to, hey, you're about to get the Holy Spirit and you're going to be on mission. It's verse 6, 7, and I did that in the last service, so there we go. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm glad my kid's not here though. Anyway, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit's coming on you, and they say, oh good, are we going to get back in power now? And Jesus doesn't respond to their question, except to say, it's not up to you guys to know how I run things, but you will know what to do when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What Jesus says here at the end of our series called Pray in verse 4 is, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. I've been teaching you guys about the Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And I said a few weeks ago that they interpreted this command to wait in Jerusalem as an invitation to pray, because in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descends on them, they are praying. That's what they're doing. So they interpret Jesus, okay, I'm going to stay in Jerusalem, and now I'm going to spend time in prayer. And as they're praying, the Holy Spirit descends on them. We're going to be talking about God's activity today, the mission, again, maybe step two of last week, locally, the kind of thing that we're invited into. But it's important to note that there is an order here. Jesus says, first you will receive the Holy Spirit, then you will get power, then you will be my witnesses. Friends, there is no mission without the power of the Holy Spirit. I said last week that at best, if you try to do stuff on your own strength, you're going to burn out. You might get cynical. You might end up getting bitter and just giving up altogether because you don't have enough strength for what God invites you into. But when the Holy Spirit comes on us, he gives us power for everything we need, for the day, to follow Jesus, and also to join him on mission. He says, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in these four places. We'll talk about those in just a second. That word witnesses, that is normally translated witnesses in our English Bibles, in most translations, is the word in Greek martyros, which sounds a little bit like the word what in English? Martyr. And for the guys who were listening to Jesus, it was literally their future. To become martyrs in many ways for the cause of Christ. They were murdered. They were killed because they were Christians. They took it all the way to the end. But I think that word martyros, when it shows up in other places in the New Testament, but also in the day that the New Testament was written, could also be translated evidence. So this verse could read in English, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my evidence. Evidence that God is real. Evidence that God is love. Evidence that God has a plan. So one of the diagnostic things I ask myself and I ask our church, and I would ask the church in America is, how are we doing at being the evidence of God in the world? When people see us, do they go, wow, I gotta know this God? Or do they have a different reaction? None of us are perfect, but how are we doing at being the evidence that God is love? And for our church, the question is, how do we show up as evidence? You know, not every church can actually take seriously this invitation and command of Jesus, but we can. God has blessed Grace Church over these last 70 years, and we are at a point where we can take seriously our Jerusalem, our city, our region, our Samaria, which Samaria was a region and people very close to them who were very different. And we have plenty of people in the region that we live in that might be close to you in terms of geographic proximity, but might be a little different from you, might speak a different language, might have a different origin story. And so part of what God is inviting us into, and then to the ends of the earth, that we'll focus on at Go Week, is to say, what is our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the ends of the earth? You can respond to that call in a variety of ways. You can plant new churches. You can send out new people and to do different things. One of the things that Grace Church has been invited into is to be one church in multiple locations. Because what people need is the proximity of the presence of God. When Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, you will be my evidence, he doesn't say, the power of the Spirit's gonna come on you and then I'm gonna drop all this stuff out of heaven and you guys can chill out. He says, the Spirit's gonna come on you and you will be my evidence. And that's still the invitation to us. So what does evidence look like? Well, at our church, evidence means presence in a prison. Evidence means hanging out with native Spanish speakers and sharing the gospel with them. Evidence means showing up in suburban communities and city neighborhoods and things in between. And it's our responsibility just to be honest and obedient to what God stirs in us. This morning, like I said, you're gonna hear from all of our campus pastors. I'm representing Middleburg Heights. You're gonna hear first from Pastor Scott, who oversees all of our campuses, but primarily also our Lorain campus at Lorain Correctional. You're gonna hear from Pastor Christian, who leads Grace en Español, our Spanish-speaking campus. You might wonder, I thought we had like an Arabic church and a deaf church and a Filipino church. Yeah, we actually do have all of those things happening under this roof, but the way we're organized, those are separate independent churches that we partner with. Rachel and I were with the Arabic church last night, eating amazing food and having a great time. So we love our brothers and sisters in those communities, but Pastor Christian is an employee of Grace Church, and Grace en Español is a campus of Grace Church. And then you're gonna hear from Pastor Neil, who leads Olmsted Falls, and Pastor Josiah, who is gonna lead a brand new campus in Cleveland. You're gonna hear a little bit more about that. We're gonna have opportunities to pray and practice what we've been preaching throughout this series, times of worship in the middle. So today's gonna feel a little different, but I'm thrilled for you to hear. Pastor Scott, why don't you hear, come. I'm thrilled for you to hear from these guys and then ask the question, what might God be saying to you about your own response to him, about what you learned today, and maybe about your next step? Pastor Scott, take it away.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. Well, welcome, Grace Middleburg Heights, and our online community as well. Our mission at Grace Church is to exalt Jesus by making disciples. Disciples who love Jesus, grow with others, and serve the world around them. Everywhere we go, no matter where we are, that's what we do. Now, we are one church, Grace Church, but in multiple locations. Grace at Lorain Correctional, Grace in Espanol, Grace at Olmsted Falls, Grace on the west side of Cleveland, and Grace in Middleburg Heights. Now you might be asking, why are we a church of multiple campuses? It's a great question to ask. And it's a great thing to really start to understand. Maybe this is your first time here at Grace. We exist to expand the kingdom of God by reaching Cleveland, Northeast Ohio, and all of the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. A campus model is a very strategic way to do this ministry effectively. Each of our campuses is contextualized to its location and the demographics within its location. Even though forms and styles and how we do ministry may differ, we remain united in our vision, in our leadership, and the direction that we're heading. Rather than just a one-size-fits-all approach, each campus has local stewardship and authentic expressions of this shared mission. Another way to say this is that we are flexible to meet local needs while advancing the vision and mission of Grace Church as a whole. And this is what we've been doing at Lorain Correctional for the past 4.5 years. I'm just incredibly excited that I've been a part of it. It was very scary at first to say yes to what God was calling me to. I'd never been to prison. I didn't really know anyone who was, and so it was scary. And you may be feeling that way right now. Some of the things that God might be calling us to may be scary or uncomfortable. But I'm excited for what God's doing and going to do in and through Lorain Correctional, as well as those who are re-entering outside the walls, and some of those people are coming here to Grace Church in Middleburg or our other campuses as well. I want to share one life change story. This is a good friend of mine. His name is Gary, and Gary has spent over 50 years in prison. Gary was the gang leader, the head of the one of the largest gangs in the state of Ohio in the prison system, and spent many years doing that, and lived a pretty rough life and did some really terrible things. But some of our guys in our school of ministry, we launched that 2.5 years ago. Dr. Robin Walters has been walking with 4 men for them to get their education so that they can then become licensed and ordained in the Christian Missionary Alliance. These guys and a few others have just really poured into Gary over the years. And Gary, one night, in his cell, knelt down and accepted Jesus into his life. And since then, Gary has been used by God to transform other men's lives as well. And that's huge. That's amazing. Gary has left the gang. Gary has dedicated his life to Jesus. And a lot of guys that are coming home have been impacted by Gary and the transformation of Jesus in his life as well. Hallelujah is right. Praise God. Just a couple quick statistics from last year. We had over 145 men give their lives to Jesus, and a few of those men were staff. So we had over 145 people, men from the incarcerated community and staff, give their lives to Christ, and 85 of those people got baptized last year. As I said, we have 4 guys who graduated from the School of Ministry and will be getting ordained. You'll see that as one of our prayer prompts for us today. We also have 14 different ministries going on inside Lorain Correctional that mirror a lot of what we do at our other campuses as well. And one of our big ministries is a reentry ministry that we have for people when they come home from the incarcerated community and their families. If you would like to be a part of anything that we're doing in Lorain or our reentry ministry, you can join any of our over 50 volunteers that are going out to Lorain on a weekly basis. We would love to meet you. I'll be at our table out in the lobby today, and just stop by. We would love to meet you and hear what God might be prompting in your life. I'm gonna call Pastor Christian Cordovez up this afternoon about just to share about what God's doing in our Espanol campus.
Thank you so much. God bless you, Grace Church. It is an honor to be able to be here with you guys today. I wanted to share what God has been doing in Grace in Espanol. It is awesome because our church has been gathering and for a couple of years, but now is officially we're a church and we are able to be able to gather and praise God as a church. What is going on in our church? It is exciting times for us looking for the future at Grace in Espanol. As a demographic shift and younger generations comes to the age of most vibrant congregations are those that bridge. There is a gap between culture, traditions, and the challenge need of the modern world. We wanted to be able to connect the people Our Grace Church has different cultures, and we wanted to be able to connect these people so they can come and gather in our Grace Church location. It is an awesome opportunity to be able to help them because they have a great need of different things. One of the situations that are happening in our culture is the financial support that they need, education gaps that they've been having. You know, many of the people, sometimes they don't go completely to the school. So we wanted to help them get connected. People also facing many of the journeys of the country has been one of the sacrifice, resilience, and they're also determination. They have determination to fulfill and be able to be part of a location. And Grace in Español has been that location where they can come over and they can praise God in Spanish, and they can gather together and also be able to connect with other people, sometimes find a job that they are looking for. Another thing is that the church isn't just a be nice location, just to be nice, but we need to equip the people that are need in needs for the land that they're to glorify Jesus Christ. Our goals in Grace in Español is to walk alongside the Hispanic community because we are committed to serve others like the Bible stated. Amen. So what is going on? What we wanted to see in Grace in Español? We wanted to see that Grace in Español future will like is to one day begin to praise God all together, but the Holy Spirit will come upon our life and transform and be able to praise the Lord in Spanish, but also through different cultures. And that's what we want to see in Grace in Español, so the Lord can touch our life, can touch the people who are gathering in our church. We want to see wounded hearts to be healed and the Holy Spirit take over and heal the people that are in the most need. Grace in Español has been a location where the Hispanic culture has been gathering, exalting Jesus Christ. Another thing is one example of what God has been doing in our church is healing, where a couple, Maria and Omar, they accepted Christ as their Savior. They came, they started, and they came to me and said, "Pastor, I want to be baptized. I wanted to be able to join something that you guys are doing in the church." So we tell them, "Okay, the steps are this, get baptized and come and work with us." And they did it. But also, they share with me that one thing that happened in their life is like, Omar got so sick that he almost died. He died for 2 minutes, and God brought him back, and he was able to get restored to his life, his health. So it is amazing what God has been doing in the life of Grace in Español. Also, we got a record of what God has been doing in our church. 16 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Also, we have 20 baptisms this last 2025, and we are serving under Grace in Español with 13 different cultures. So one of the things I want to share, I didn't share before, is like the church has one point and talked to me about it. "Pastor, you always bring your tie really nice. If we get 100 people, we will cut your tie. So help us to do that in the next year." So God bless you. Thank you so much.
I like that. We have a tie cutting ceremony. That's good. That's the first time I heard that. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We've been talking about prayer for 6 weeks. We're just going to spend a couple of minutes in prayer now for these things that you've heard. You can just pray quietly in your seat. You could lean over and pray with the person next to you if you want. Get a group together, whatever you want to do. We're just going to pray for a minute and a half, and then Pastor Scott will end this time of prayer. But we'll have prompts on the screen. Let's pray.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of what you're doing for your kingdom. You say in 2 Peter that we get to participate with your divine activities, the divine activities of the living God. Lord, and the fact that you want us, you desire us and invite us to be a part of those things. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, give us the strength to say yes, the courage to say yes, just to take that next step, not knowing what it might be. But thank you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship in song this afternoon.
I was so inspired by Pastor Christian's willingness to have his tie cut that I was just thinking, what would I do? And I thought, if we got to 800, maybe I'd start cheering for the Bucks. And then I immediately broke into hives. I thought, no, I better be 1,000. Well, hey, I just lost a bunch of you, didn't I? Well, hey, it is truly an honor to be with you today and be worshiping together as a Grace family. And I have the great honor and privilege of serving at our Olmsted Falls campus. We about a little over 7 years ago, we moved our family to Olmsted Falls. And we plugged in. We love Olmsted Falls. We love that we get to raise our kids in that community and in those schools. And we just love it there. We get to be a part of the Olmsted campus. I love the Olmsted campus and all of the people that make up the Olmsted Falls campus. If you've never been to the Olmsted Falls campus, it's like worshiping in a park. It's beautiful. And God just, you can sit in amazement in it all and lose the point that Pastor Tim was talking about in the beginning. We were brought to the place to be evidence. Don't miss the point that God has you in a place and a time. He has you in your home. He has you in your work. He has you in your place that you like to play. And he has you in your church family, in your community there for a purpose, to be evidence. We're really grateful that people at Grace Church take that job seriously. And because of that, we're seeing amazing things happen at Grace. At the Olmsted Falls campus, we're seeing numerical growth. It's great to see more and more people come. Last year, we saw about a 16% rise over an already great year the previous year before. And so we're seeing more and more people actually come to the building. We're seeing more and more baptisms. Every year, there's just an incremental number more being baptized. Praise God for what he's doing. We've seen people come to know Christ. I just want to tell you a story. A couple months ago, one of the teachers in a Grace Kids class, he was teaching his class, just doing what he normally does, and he felt the prompt from the Lord just saying, why don't you ask these kids if they would like to receive Christ? And he responded, and he asked. 5 kids accepted Christ that day. Isn't that cool? It's what happens when we're willing to be evidence. We've seen God do amazing work in spiritual growth in people. We've seen that through classes like Word Up. We kind of stole that from Lorraine campus, so thank you for that. Some of you have been there. Word Up is this opportunity to come, ask literally any question. We turn to the Bible and see how it responds. And so this is such a cool thing, the tool that we've been using to grow. We've seen that through Making Peace and Beyond, where people are actually seeing God heal brokenness and pain. We've seen people engage with spiritual growth in the fact that they're engaging with discipleship or like in groups or personal one-on-one conversations. We've seen them engage with small groups. So we're just seeing God do some really, really neat things. And we're also seeing God help us engage with the community more and more as well. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy named Brian. Brian's story actually starts from somebody else in our church, somebody that takes being the evidence seriously. They live their lives so that people will know that Jesus came for them. Because of them, Brian started coming to church. He got saved. Then he wanted to get baptized, and what's he do? He calls Buddy in Florida and just says, hey, you and me, we're getting baptized. He flies up from Florida, and they get baptized. Ever since then, we've seen this circle of people growing around Brian and his family. More and more people. Why? Because Brian's evidence. 2 weeks, there's another person being baptized because of that evidence. Be evidence. Isn't that amazing what God can do if we're willing to just be evidence? So I'm going to pass the baton off to Pastor Josiah. Pastor Josiah and I have had the pleasure to work with together for almost 7.5 years. Yeah, it's been a little while. And so I'm really excited to see what God's going to do in this next chapter.
Amen. Well, I have something I believe that I hope you believe too, that Jesus loves Cleveland. Anybody believe that? The reason I know that is because there's 350,000 people and more in Cleveland, and Jesus found all of them worthy to die on the cross for each and every one of them. Jesus loves people. There's a lot of people in Cleveland. So as we have been thinking and praying about where to launch the next campus for Grace, we've settled on the west side of Cleveland, and specifically, as I've prayed and prayer walked and talked with people, I feel like West Park is going to be the area where we're going to be specifically launching our next campus. Amen. Now, that's not completely official yet, because I'll answer the most asked question I get. No, we don't have a building quite yet, but we're working on it. We're having conversations, and we'll be able to keep you guys updated as soon as that happens. The second most asked question I'm getting is, are you going to be the lead pastor there? And I want to tell you right away, the answer to that is also no. Tim is going to continue to be our lead pastor, which is amazing. I'm so joyful to be part of a big team. I'll be the campus pastor at the Cleveland campus. Let me give you an update on what we've been doing. If we don't have a location, how am I the campus pastor? We've been making key connections with some important people in the neighborhood. We've been building a launch team, and we've been saturating every effort in prayer with the goal of launching that campus sometime this year. As I think about what this campus could become, I get really excited about expanding this healthy, Jesus-centered church to some neighborhoods that maybe have people that might have a hard time accessing a campus out in the suburbs. Maybe some of you guys live in those neighborhoods and could suddenly invite your neighbor to the church down the road. I love that idea. As we do this, expand the mission of Grace Church into a new area and to new people, we'll be focusing on a few specific values that I think will serve the city context well. Let me tell you about three of those values. First, because of the diversity of the area, we're going to be strategic about nurturing multicultural unity at the Cleveland campus. I'm struck by the story in Acts 2, the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, and the miracle that God decided to do that day it wasn't healing, and that day it wasn't deliverance or raising from the dead. That day, the miracle that God chose to do was to give the apostles the ability to preach the gospel in multiple languages. And the reason was because all this diverse group of people had gathered in Jerusalem that day, and I believe that God wanted on the first day that the church was born for it to be a beautifully diverse community. So at the Cleveland campus, we're gonna intentionally value unconditional hospitality toward the international newcomer in the area, desiring to create a home for the nations as they've arrived at our doorstep. Second, we'll be nurturing an attitude toward Cleveland that I'd like to call benevolent optimism. We're going to choose to love Cleveland and believe in the good work that God is already doing there. In Acts chapter 11, when Barnabas arrived at a big city called Antioch, he was sent there because these new believers had led a whole bunch of more new believers to Christ, and there was this revival happening, but there wasn't a leader to help organize it. And instead of noticing all the potential problems that could arise from that, here's what it says that Barnabas did. It says, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad. And we're going to take that heart posture, that we're going to take notice of what God is already doing in Cleveland, and we're going to join in with it with gladness and rejoicing. And finally, we're going to seek to be a genuine blessing to the city. our facilities usage, our outreach posture is going to be to genuinely bless the neighborhoods that we're in. In Acts 8, there's an example of this, where Philip went to a large city in Samaria, and he preached the gospel. And what came out of that preaching of the gospel? It says this. It says, it led to great joy in that city. In the same way, we pray that we can show so much love to the people of West Park that our presence and the presence of Jesus among us as we proclaim the good news will be a cause for great rejoicing among believers and not yet believers alike. If this vision is compelling to you in any way, maybe it's because God is stirring in your heart to join us. So if that's you, if you want to be part of this in any way, that could either be praying, that could be joining us, that could be attending once we open, I'd love to talk to you. So come join me at the lobby table after this and have a conversation or send me an email and I'll get you connected on how you might be able to engage in this mission in Cleveland.
These are exciting things and exciting days, so let's pray into it, okay? You'll have prayer prompts for both of these campuses as well. Let's pray together.
Jesus, we praise you and all your power and all your kindness and all your goodness. You are doing a good thing among us. You're doing a good thing in Olmsted Falls. You're doing a good thing in Cleveland. And I can say that before we even really get started, that you've been doing good things for a long time. You've been tilling soil and preparing the way. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd lead us to the places where we could find the seeds that have been planted on good soil that'll reap 100-fold and that will continue to bless the neighborhoods and lead people to salvation in you. I pray that you would continue to bless all the efforts and all the hard work in Olmsted Falls, as well as what will be happening in Cleveland. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, for some of you today, you learned some things about Grace Church. Maybe you're new, or maybe you didn't know about all these exciting stories. And I'm glad for you to learn those things, not just so that you can join, but just so that you can be aware, be praying, and be grateful for what God's done. I told these guys at the beginning of the morning that they each had 5 minutes, and if they went over, they'd be fired. And I'd like to let you know that 3 of them are going to keep their jobs, so it's all good. I'm just kidding. I'm so glad when we walked in early this morning, somebody said, it looks like the Avengers are assembling. This is fun. All the campus pastors here together. It's been really a rich morning for me too. So thank you guys. Before we sing our final song, I just want to leave you with this word of encouragement. Back to Acts 1 verse 8. So I mentioned that word martyros could be translated evidence. Let's just go back to that witness word that shows up in most of our English translations. You will be my witnesses. A witness, if you were called to testify in a trial, for instance, a witness is called to testify because you saw something, and now you have to bear witness about that thing that you saw. So let's just remember that before we tell anybody, we have to be witnessing what God is doing. We have to be people who are beholding him, who are watching him, who are worshiping him, and then we have something to share. So that what we share comes from a real place where we go, look, I don't know, my life got transformed. Jesus changed everything in me. Now let me tell you about him. So we bear witness to his work, and then we bear witness about his work. And I want to invite you into that. We talked last week about getting into the game, about joining Jesus on his mission. It's his mission. He owns it. He already started it. Our question is, what role do we have to play? So I'm curious for you this morning, is it another step in surrender? Is it a step to join one of these campuses? Is it a step to care about your neighbor? Whatever it is, let's, as we respond, really invite him to stir in us what he wants for us. Let's not just assume and move on, but let's wrestle through, what is it, God, that you would be asking me to do? Because maybe I don't care enough about lost people. These guys are inspiring, but I want to share that. Yeah, God can answer that prayer. And whatever he says, let's say yes in response. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to sing this song, For the Sake of the World, that many of you know. But let's ask God to burn like a fire in us, and let's respond in us.